And on today's Windy City Queercast, that zany, wacky, and now she's found out, neurotic Alexandra Billings on with me today. And she is vlogging. That's vlogging with a V, like Victor Victoria. It's crazy. And she's seeing her neuroses, and she's allowing us to watch it too. Plus, we talk about California, Proposition 8 coming up, the election, Sarah Palin. Oh my gosh, Britney Spears, Madonna. There's so much. Plus, I finally get off my chest the thing on television that is annoying me the most. And I have been wanting to talk about it for a long time, and it just explodes on out. Plus, Cynthia's here with, by the way, putting the B in the GLBT, and news and theater and much, much more. Oh, vlogging. Like, we want to see all that, and we do.
Windy City Queercast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Alexandra Benz.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 254. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Alexandra Billings.
Live in Los Angeles.
Live in Los Angeles on my porch, by the way.
On your porch? You're Skyping on your porch?
Yes, I'm on my porch in the sunshine with a little breeze blowing in my locks.
God, you live the life I want to live.
It's really good. I have to tell you that it's very, very, it's good. It's all around good.
I need to transition my life. Not transition perhaps my gender, but perhaps my life.
No. I think that's an excellent idea. I'm trying to get every single one of my friends to move out here anyway, so.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
If I could just take some minor steps, like getting outside and enjoying a sunny breeze. We've been having a sunny breeze the past couple of days. It's about to go away drastically tomorrow, but there you are.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah, that's right. Well,
so
yeah,
I want to come to California, and there's so much going on there.
Yes, there is.
Y'all are having big fires.
We're having huge fires all over. Everything is burning. Everything is burning. But that's sort of the norm in California.
Yeah.
You know, you drive down the freeway and something is burning.
Yeah.
Something's on fire.
Yeah. City on fire. Yeah.
Everything on fire.
Yeah. Does it scare you?
No, it doesn't scare me. Once you sort of get used to it, that you sort of live in the, you know, third ring of hell, then you sort of, you know, okay, it's part of the day. You're like, oh, dum-de-dum-de, oh, a fire. Well, I've got to get to the 7-Eleven. So, you know, that's just kind of the way it is.
Yeah. So talk to me about the buzz with, I mean, election is just, you know, weeks away, a couple weeks away now, practically.
That's true.
And I'm doing all these news stories week after week about Proposition 8 and more celebrities giving more money. We're going to announce some more in today's news that are giving money to Proposition 8. How big a buzz is it out there? Are you seeing a lot of advertisements as a GLBT person, are you highly aware of your friends, like how they're going to vote, or are people going to go out and even vote for the amendment? You know, some people go out and vote for president and they don't even make it to the end of the ballot.
Yeah, it's true.
It's like, I don't know who the Sooty Guru doody-doo-doo is. I'm not even going to punch. And then the amendment's usually the last thing. Usually proposed amendments are at the very back of people's electronic ballots.
Here's my theory. Can I tell you my theory?
Yeah, please do, because I'm getting nervous when they're saying how much we're being outspent by people who are supporting Proposition 8.
Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous.
Okay.
I mean, get a little nervous. Everybody should be active, but don't get nervous. But let me just back up and just tell you what I've discovered from talking to Republicans, either that I've worked with or that I know.
You know Republicans?
I do know Republicans. I like Republicans. Listen, there's a lot of their ideas that I believe that they have the right idea about a lot of things.
Okay, tell me one thing they have the right idea about.
They have the right idea about the budget. They have the right idea about the budget. They have the right idea about their plan to get us out of this financial mess that we're in. And not that the Democrats' plan is that much different, but the Republicans firmly believe that the government should stay out of their business. I mean, well, that's not true. That the government should stay out of their fiscal business, which is part of their philosophy that I actually subscribe to. Now, they believe that, they tout that as their sort of slogan, but in reality, we know that that's not true. Now, let me just get back to my theory here. May I get back to my theory, please?
Please get back to your theory, because I'd
like to discuss.
I was going
to
debate you on all this, but we only have a limited amount of time.
Yeah, so. No, that's true, and I need to tell you this because I have to tell this to as many human beings on the planet as possible.
Ooh.
So here's what I think.
Well, talk to the millions of listeners of the Windy City Queercast right now.
I'm going to do that right now. Please, everyone, get very close to your computers and listen very closely to what I have to say, because it's life-changing. Okay, here's what I have to say. The conversation that liberals need to have with conservatives, and first of all, there needs to be a conversation and not an argument and not a debate. A conversation is a very different thing than either two of those things. The conversation that liberals need to have with conservatives about Proposition 8 is the following, colon. Have the conversation, but eliminate the word God. No one can say it. No one can talk about it. No one can bring it up, because the conservative party keeps going back to the Constitution, and that's what they want to change. They want to change this. They want to add this amendment that says marriage is strictly between one man and one woman, because they believe that that's the that is a constitutional right, that they're protecting the sanctity of marriage. If we go back to what this country was founded on, which is the separation of church and state, we must start to have conversations that have nothing to do with the Bible or what anyone believes is right or is wrong spiritually. When you have a conversation, and I just had this a couple of days ago, with a Republican or with a conservative that doesn't include the word God, they are at a loss for words. So let's start to bring this movement out of equality for everyone, and let's start to bring this conversation back to separation of church and state.
But I don't think that they're going to see the ability to do that, because they can say that this country was founded upon, you know, a nation under God, in God we trust, is physically on all of our money.
But that's not in the Constitution. I'm talking about what's in the Constitution of the United States, because that's what they want to amend.
Right.
You're absolutely right, Amy, and that's part of the conversation I had with this Republican. But we have to go back to – and every time she brought that up, I would say, you're right. That's true. We agreed before we started conversing. No one would bring up that word, so you must eliminate it from your conversation. I'm not bringing it up. So you can't bring it up.
Well, and this is exactly what happened with Connecticut, you know, this past week, with Connecticut accepting same-sex marriage and finding it unconstitutional by Connecticut Supreme Court law to deny marriage to same-sex couples. And
correct.
I think if more and more states continue to do that, and obviously that's what happened with California. And why? And
this is my point.
Got married in California.
This is my point, though. This conversation is not about equal rights. It started out about equal rights. That's not what it's about. This Proposition 8 is about separation of church and state. That's what this is about. You can because once we get into the rigmarole about God and the Bible, and you believe this and this is right and this is wrong, we're into a whole philosophical conversation that will never end.
Yeah.
We need to carry signs instead of saying every American deserves the same rights. We need to carry signs that say separation of church and state, period. That is the end all be all of this conversation.
So are you seeing a lot of, I mean, do you know a lot of people that have gotten married? I mean, I'm friends with Terrence Flannery and Michael Feinstein. Judge Judy just married them on Friday night. People that I know trying to get married in California before November 4th, because supposedly if it gets overturned, those marriages will still be recognized. So
that's right.
Do you know a lot of people who've been getting married and taking advantage of it? And have you and Chrisanne,
well,
I know you have been married, but do you want to civilly be married there?
Well, here's the thing. Chrisanne and I actually have applied for the license, and we are going down this week. So we are going to do it, and we are going to vlog about it. I've been vlogging now. I'm so hip.
What's a vlog?
I know. I'm
hippie-poo. Oh, your face? Your video?
Yeah, I have a YouTube account, and it's sort of a mini reality show in a strange way. I have a friend who's a fabulous editor, and I've been filming myself going to auditions and doing one thing, and she's been editing down these little films, and there's sort of a little mini web reality series. It's very funny.
Is this on your site?
It's on my blog. I post them once a week, but I also have a YouTube site, and you can go and see other episodes and a whole bunch of things that I don't post.
All right. Well, you'll tell us and we'll link that in our show notes so we can catch up. And people can see you if they've never seen you and they just are hearing you from, you know, our podcasting.
Yeah, they can. They can see my big fat face. And they can also experience my neuroses. I have to tell you something, Amy. I can't believe you're still my friend. I had no idea how neurotic I was. I seriously didn't.
Honey.
I really thought I was...
Honey.
Really, I thought I was one of those people that sort of had it all together. But I'm falling apart.
Honey,
oh,
I love
God.
You, but do you know how many of us go, it's Alex. It's just Alex.
Oh, my God. That's so tragic.
But we love you. We know what you are and who you are and how you are and when you are and all that good stuff. I don't know the why, but I know the who, what, when. Usually
I don't know
where.
The why either.
Sometimes I don't know where you are, but, you know.
I don't either. I always thought that I was sort of, I'm Neely O'Hara. That's who I am. I'm falling apart. Well, anyway, the point I was trying to make was that we're going to vlog this. Now, my whole problem, and you know this, my whole problem with this whole certificate thing is that Chrisanne and I have been married for 12 years, and we've never let the government dictate our marriage one way or the other, ever. They've always said to us, you're not married, and we've always said, yeah, we are. So my whole problem is going down and sort of acquiescing to this, you know, thing that they've deemed, you know, suddenly legal by granting us this whole marriage thing. And I'm like, you know, screw you, honey.
You save shitloads of money. So you know what? You should do it.
Well, we're going to. So my point is, we're going to. We're going to go down there. But listen, I'm going to make a point of telling whoever hands us this certificate, you're handing me a certificate. This is my wedding ring. This is my engagement ring. I am married. And I need you to know that. You're not marrying me. I had a ceremony. I am married. I'm just getting this certificate to further the cause for the separation of church and state, because that's what this is about for me.
Well, and you should be doing it for all the massive amounts of tax benefits you will get. I mean, just pure economics. Susie Orman would tell you to do this, you know, like, I mean, it's a really smart thing to do. I mean, there are many things that I know that you can do without. I mean, we can do as gay and lesbians, our power of attorney, our wills, our, you know, but there are bigger fish to fry here that you will now be protected that you're not before, you know?
Well, let's also remember, my dear, that the government, as far as tax records go, are not going to recognize these marriages until it's federal. That's just
But on a state level, you will. So anything that's happening there, when you pay your taxes to California, you all are going to see savings.
That's true. Not much. But yeah,
it's worth an hour's worth of work to go down and fill out a form. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
It's like your residuals year after year from, you know, the performance of your marriage is the way I would look at it, you know, actor in California.
No, you're right. You're right.
So
you're right.
So I am curious are you sensing with your friends and the people in California, are they feeling this financial crisis in a real way? Not really in the industry, but just with, you know, your people you're hanging out with. Are people talking about the financial state of the union?
Are you kidding? Oh, God, yes. And it absolutely affects our industry. Nobody's going to the movies. Nobody's going to plays. Nobody's taking classes. It absolutely affects our industry. Everybody's broke and losing their homes. So, yeah, absolutely. Oh, well, Christ, yes. I think everybody's profession is affected.
Well, I want to talk about the lovely profession of being a performer and a teacher that you enjoy out there in Los Angeles. Let's go and do a little bit of the news. Plus, on today's show, Sin is bringing you another one of her By the Way segments. And then we'll be back with Alexandra Billings on the Queercast.
Yay.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Nudist Colony Activity Coordinator.
Mr. Nudist Colony Activity Coordinator.
Wearing nothing but a whistle and a clipboard, you're living the real American dream. Getting paid to think up fun things to do naked.
Running free.
Sure, there's danger. Vinyl chairs, sunburns, chafage, and lawn darts completely out of the question.
Watch out!
Your keen instincts tell you to stick to activities that involve lots of bouncing and jiggling. And if that doesn't work, who cares? You're all naked.
It's your birthday.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, nudie boy. Because we all know, when the going gets tough, the tough get naked.
The nudist college activity coordinator.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. Members of the so-called ex-gay community are suing the Washington, D.C. Office of Human Rights for failing to protect former homosexuals under its sexual orientation anti-discrimination law. Parents and friends of ex-gays, or PFOX, Executive Director Regina Griggs says D.C.'s Human Rights Act fails to protect the most bullied and maligned group in America, so-called ex-gays.
Financial expert and out lesbian Susie Orman is urging Florida voters to vote against Amendment 2. In November, Florida voters will decide on the Marriage Protection Amendment, which seeks to define marriage as between one man and one woman. If passed, Amendment 2 would also outlaw any other legal recognition of relationships, such as domestic partnerships and civil unions. Orman said, "My life's work has been to help people, particularly women, take responsibility for their own financial security. This amendment will undermine the ability of the people of Florida to protect themselves."
With the election weeks away, those against California's Proposition 8 are donating large amounts of money to try to match the amount raised by the opposition. On November 4th, California voters will decide on Proposition 8, which aims to ban same-sex marriage. Recent donations include $500,000 from Hollywood producer Steve Bing, $750,000 from the Human Rights Campaign, and $1 million from the California Teachers Association.
An elementary school bus driver in Bourbonnais, Illinois, has been charged with leading an anti-gay attack on a 10-year-old student. The student was taunted by the bus driver and called gay. The driver also encouraged other students to tackle and beat the child when he got off the bus and even joined in on the chase and attack. The bus driver was fired.
In the Netherlands, three men are on trial for allegedly purposely infecting at least 14 other men with HIV during sex parties. According to prosecutors, the men drugged and raped their guests. They also supposedly injected their guests with their own HIV-infected blood. If convicted, each case can receive up to 21 years in prison.
Queer as Folk star Gail Harold was recently injured in a motorcycle crash. Harold, age 39, is in critical condition in the intensive care unit of a Los Angeles hospital. He fractured his shoulder and experienced swelling of the brain, but is expected to fully recover. Harold played hunky, openly gay Brian on Showtime's Queer as Folk and currently plays the love interest of Terry Hatcher in Desperate Housewives.
Pop icon Madonna's split from her husband has been confirmed, and she is divorcing movie director Guy Ritchie. Madonna and Ritchie have been married for 7 years and have 2 children together. The singer is currently on her Sticky and Sweet tour.
And one of the U.S.'s first openly gay legislators, Alan Speer, died from complications after heart surgery. Speer, 71, and a Minnesota state senator from 1992 to 2000, came out of the closet in a 1974 newspaper interview and worked on amending the state's Human Rights Act to include sexual orientation, which passed in 1993.
And that's the Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
Something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY.
Hey, it's Finn bringing you By the Way, where I attempt to represent the B in the big gay alphabet. This time I was planning to talk about how bisexuals are not very well received within the queer community. But then a discussion that Amy and Deb had on show number 249 got me all confused. Deb was talking about not only the backlash for bis, but the backlash for high femmes or girly-looking girls, if you didn't know what that means. Basically, she was saying that it seems like the community doesn't seem to know what to make of either of us, and thus isn't very accepting because neither high femmes nor bisexuals conform to the standards of the lesbian community. The reason this got me so confused is because I'm both. While I don't think of myself as strictly high femme in personality, I definitely have my butchy side, but I do look the part. So now I'm left wondering how much of the resistance I feel is because I'm bi and how much is because I look so femme. It's interesting because you can't tell someone's bi by looking at them, but I definitely look girly and therefore I'm assumed to be straight, even though I'm at tons of lesbian events and have seen the same people on the scene for years. I suppose my looks are the first thing to throw people off, and then if they talk to me and find out I'm bi, that's usually my second strike. But that brings up more questions, like, are there butch female bisexuals? I know I've never met one, and I wouldn't think that most butch women would be interested in guys, nor that many men would be attracted to a butch woman enough for them not to threaten their masculinity. But both scenarios are clearly possible for people who are not limited by gender norms. And assuming that bisexuals are primarily femme, then are we all left with this double strike against us? And what does that mean for our femme lesbians? Are they assumed to be bi? Or do we both just confuse people enough that they avoid us altogether? I'd love to hear from my lesbian and bi femme sisters out there about that one. I think overall, we might just want to try to leave our assumptions aside and err on the idea that if women are participating in the community, that they're family or at least allies and most likely friendly. There's no need to be threatened because some ladies don't fit neatly inside the box of what it is to look lesbian. The last thing we need is more ostracizing within our community and safe spaces, especially when there aren't that many spaces for just the ladies. So there's your challenge, ladies. Drop the bullshit and try to reach out and be more welcoming of the ladies who are just out looking to have a good time and maybe make some new friends just like you. Thanks for hanging in there with this trail of thoughts. And as always, please feel free to share your opinions and comments. I'm Sin with By the Way, where I try to represent the B in the big gay alphabet.
So, Alex,
Yes, dear.
Really,
yes.
Probably the only thing, you know, seeing a spike these days in the entertainment world is Tina Fey whenever she makes an appearance on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Just for those 5 minutes of anticipation. But as you were saying before the break, really all industries are being affected. I would think the entertainment industry, though, would be affected a little less because people want to feel better. People want to go and do things, but it, I guess it all does come down to economics and our studios and executives putting money behind new projects in the same way.
Sure. Listen, I mean, you know, everybody wants to feel better, but think about, you know, when the Depression happened, people went to the movies, but the people who went to the movies still owned their houses. The people on breadlines weren't doing anything. They were trying to survive. Yeah. Now, not that we're in that particular position. I don't think we're going to get there, but.
Well, you started having real political theater come out of the Depression as well. All of the, the political theater houses, you know.
Yeah, that's right. But I you're right. And I think the problem is that if you lose your house, you're not going to spend $15 going to the movies. You're just not going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, everybody wants to feel better, but nobody's going to do it. And certainly nobody's going to go see live theater. Are you kidding me? Please. Yeah.
Although I have to say I've seen a ton of it lately, and I have been in a lot of really full houses here in Chicago.
Oh, so that's
I don't know what that says, though. I was at the Lyric this weekend, and there were some empty seats at the Opera, you know. So interesting that some of the storefronts are doing well at the Lyric on a Saturday night, and there are, you know, back row orchestra level seats that are empty.
Maybe this is a resurgent for the small theater. I don't know. You know, they're cheaper, they're easier to get to. Maybe that's what's going to happen. I don't know.
Yeah. So how, you know, I have to say that, did you see Tina Fey with Sarah Palin on the Saturday Night Live?
I did.
I mean, pretty fucking funny, I thought.
It was really funny. Now, do you want a little inside dirt?
I do. That's why I call you.
Okay.
Or just to
this
be dirty. I just
that's
call
right.
you really
Let's
to be
dirty.
Dirty, but if you want to...
The sounds of sex... Oh, what?
If no, you want to change the semantics to being a little bit of dirt, that's okay too.
Dirty and dirt. Dirt mm-hmm. that is dirty. Dirty, 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 dirty.
Give it to me.
This actually may not be
Oh, just tell me. I don't care if it's
All
real
right,
or not. Just
All
lie.
Right. No, it's real. It's absolutely real. Poehler's rap, Amy Poehler's rap that she did, was designed for Palin. That was supposed to be her. She was supposed to do it. And then she got to the studio and she read it and she found it vulgar, which is why she didn't end up doing it. So all these conservatives who were writing these blogs about how wonderful it was that Palin was on the show, and it was. She was a good sport about it. She also has no clue as to what's going on, but however, right. that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah.
But make no mistake, she went on there and she said no to a lot of things that they had to change at the very last minute for her that she was not about to participate in. So,
like
the rap, she wasn't about to do that. There was a Baldwin joke that was supposed to happen that I can't remember the exact circumstances, but that had something to do with her daughter that she nixed. Mm-hmm. She said, "Oh no, honey, we're not going to do that." So she said no to not a lot of things. She said no to about two or three things. So she did not necessarily go on that show sort of open and willing to make fun of herself.
Yeah.
So we need to sort of – everybody sort of needs to know that. She had some stipulations.
Oh, yeah. I kind of gathered, even though they guised it like they had written it that way, that she didn't feel comfortable and would Amy do it. I kind of got that, you know,
yeah,
that it happened last minute. I mean, not last minute, like day of, but that it happened, you know, last minute. It was pretty damn funny. I have to say she looked really hot.
She did look good.
I apologize for being in that category of, as I said to Sandra Bernhardt last week, you know, that she's a pilf, politician I'd like to fuck, just to mess
exactly.
her up, you know? But those like knee-high black boots and, you know, her smoking little pencil skirt, I was like, no wonder these Republicans all want to fuck her. I mean...
I'm
a lesbian Democrat, and I do her, so what the hell is that?
Come on!
I don't know that there's ever been a Republican I would have gotten in bed with.
Oh, no. No, icky poo-poo. But she looks like she'd be hot.
Yeah.
Although I have this feeling that in bed she would be saying things like, oh, yeah, that's it right there. Wait a minute. Not right there. Over there. No, not over there. Over there. What? Listen to what I'm telling you. Over there. You know what I mean?
But for some people, for some lesbians particularly, that would be very hot.
I guess so. I don't like to feel like I'm doing anything wrong when I'm in bed. You know what I mean? Like if you say over there and I go over there and it's not the over there you're talking about, then just deal with what's happening for the love of Christ.
Then just fake it. I'm
just
not in
for the love
for
of
you.
God. Move
you
your
don't
hips.
Like direction? Come on, you're an actor. You should love
yeah,
direction.
You know,
you don't like
well,
direction in bed?
Well, the thing about it is like when you're doing something and somebody says over there and you go over there and it's just a matter of like centimeters, move your hips.
Yeah.
Is
you
that a big
are
deal?
In control of your. This is what Halle Berry said in Esquire magazine when she was named the sexiest woman alive. She said, "I now know over 40 that I am in charge of my orgasm and I'm having great orgasms. Thank you very much."
Right. That's the deal. Like,
there you
if
go.
I'm not having an orgasm because I sit over there and you don't understand over there, I'm going to take your hand and go, "Here you go."
Yeah.
Right here.
Yeah.
This is the deal.
Yeah.
And I'm not making any bones about it. Right here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would just make me, if she were like, over there, oh, for God's sake, how many times? I would look up at her and kind of go, you know what, honey? Why don't you get yourself some kind of a map and give it to me beforehand, and then I can study it and then come to you. How about that?
I think she's a big old top, though, so I don't think she's probably the one dealing with the whole over there.
I would disagree with you. I would think that Sarah Palin would like want to be whipped and beaten, and but it would be very particular. And she would want, you know, hair pulled and the whole, because she goes out and she shoots mooses.
Yeah,
meeses. What's the plural of moose? Mooses?
I like meese.
It's not meese.
Let's go with that, though.
It's mace? Good. Mice. Not mice. Mice is a mouse.
Well, speaking of people
me.
Who'd probably
like
be
Dr.
giving
Seuss.
You, probably people who'd be giving you direction, were you shocked by the Madonna divorce?
No. Are you kidding? What?
Can you believe it lasted this long?
No, I can't. And what kind of marriage did they have? She was never home. She was out.
Yeah. You think he's trading her in for a younger model, or she seriously is having the affair with A-Rod?
I think it's probably both.
Yeah.
I think it's probably both. You know, I never really liked her until she got sort of over 40. And now I'm sort of into her a little bit. Not as much as I'm into Britney Spears, I must tell you. But
I
do.
Her new video?
Oh, God, yes.
Her little writhing, hot, oiled body. I told Kelly, I said, "Kelly, Britney Spears is back." She said, "What?" I said, "The body is back."
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the mind and the spirit, but the body is back.
Absolutely. She
and
looks
you know what?
Fantastic.
Thank God. Yes. If we're going to have to see her, she should look good for me. That's all I got to say.
That's the thing. And like, if that's what you're going to build your career on, then for heaven's sake, just keep it up, honey.
Yeah.
Plus, Britney Spears can sing. That girl's got a voice. She can sing.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you.
Oh,
she
you
absolutely
are kidding
can
me.
Sing.
She absolutely cannot sing.
She absolutely can. Amy Matheny, you are jealous and it's sickening.
Oh, it is so nasal. She cannot sing.
Riddled with jealousy and it's sad and I'm going to pray for you. Where's my Bible?
You cannot say pray or God. We are a separation of Amy and Brittany. you know, I mean, honestly, you cannot think that girl can sing. She can dance. She has a smoking body. She is a fun entertainer when she's on her game. And, you know, and she has in the past had some really fun numbers, but I mean, she is not a singer. I mean,
I'm not saying
that
she can
fabulous
sing.
Girl who sang on Saturday Night Live, and I hope people heard her, and I am going to download her CD, Adele, who was like on Saturday Night Live when Palin was on. I thought she was the best, most amazing voice I have heard in a really long time, and Kelly kept saying she sounds like Amy Winehouse, and I was like, well, there's a demand, and Amy Winehouse is too fucked up to supply it, so they're going out and finding what Amy Winehouse does. And she kind of was like a throwback to Mama Cass, full-figured girl. Normally would not be any.
I didn't see the whole episode.
Download Adele. I am telling you, or just go and see clips of her from that show last night. She sang two amazing numbers.
I'm going to.
Amazing, amazing. Very much in the kind of physical genre of like a Beth Ditto from The Gossip. I mean, full-figured gal, kind of a throwback sound. I was like, oh, now that's some new exciting music. But anyhow, I digress, as I just did. So Madonna, you're infatuated with over 40, and Britney, you think, is a great singer. So
I didn't say she was a great singer. I said she could sing.
You said
don't
she
put
had
words
a voice.
In my mouth.
Okay.
Missy.
Okay.
Whitney Houston is a great singer. Patti LaBelle is a great singer. Barbra Streisand is a great singer. And I'll even go as far as to say Celine Dion is a great singer.
Who I'm seeing on Election Day to celebrate Obama's win.
Woo! I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
I don't know why you'd like to look at that woman. I love to listen to her, but oh, God, with the air guitar. Come on.
I know. And the clogging, which I know you like a lot, but that's my reach.
Why does she clog? Why? Why the clogging? Why, Celine?
I don't know. Celine, the clogging annoys you. Can I tell you the thing that annoys me that I've
Celine,
never...
You know what Celine needs? What? Celine needs the sounds of sex. That's what she needs. It would stop her from clogging.
Yeah. I don't think she has sex anymore.
Well, that's why she needs the sounds of sex.
Yep. Would you like to give it to her?
Yes. Sounds of sex. That's just, I mean, that would help, don't you think?
Not to me. I love Celine, but you know, this is where I have a dividing line with a lot of people.
All right.
I mean, if I could put Celine's voice on Britney Spears' body, I would be in like, wow. Talk about my Frankenhooker moment. If I could build the girl, that would be
Frankenhooker. You know?
And if you don't know what I'm talking about with Frankenhooker, you did not know your bad 1980s B-grade movies. So,
Frankenhooker.
So let me tell you something I have been dying to talk about. It may take 1 second to talk about, but I just have to say it somewhere recorded. Kelly and I do this thing when we're watching television, we're watching a film. It happens more with TV. And there's this one thing that happens that annoys us so much, both of us or one of us will scream at the TV. Can you guess what it is?
Stop it?
No. Can you guess what happens that all these people do, all these actors do that makes us scream at the TV?
Whisper.
No.
Oh.
I should give away like $10,000 if somebody can guess. Nobody would ever guess.
Yeah. That's a good game.
I cannot stand it. Literally, last week, I was like, talking to Alex this week, write this on a piece of paper, have to talk about it, have to get this off my chest. It is the most annoying thing in the entire world, now that we live in the land of Starbucks and coffees on the go, when actors use coffees on the go in a scene, and there is absolutely nothing fucking cold or hot in the cup. I cannot tell you how much this fucking annoys me. I'm like, you are an actor being paid a lot of money. Where the fuck is your props person who can build, like, on ER, them taking somebody's face off, or on Grey's Anatomy, or, you know, can do these highly stylized prosthetics and sets and, you know, can be on Dirty Sexy Money and have a helicopter land, or Ugly Betty and all this shit. And every one of those television shows is guilty in the first degree of having all of your actors walk around with nothing in the fucking cup. Who do I have to sue in Hollywood to have this change?
I don't have an answer for that. I wish I did.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't, but I hear your rage.
You have to watch. I'm telling you, in the past week, I saw 5 major top 20 television shows with actors with nothing in their fucking cup. And this has been going on for far too long for me to stay silent about anymore.
Well, it needs to stop.
It needs to stop.
For the love of Christ, someone stop it.
Oh, I am losing sleep over this.
Oh, my God. We must do something.
It's really tragic. So I encourage all of you listening to watch your favorite shows this week. And I guarantee you one or more of them will have somebody with a cup, with a lid, and there will be nothing in it. And if you watch the cup, you will realize there's nothing in it. Happened on Grey's Anatomy this week, happened on Ugly Betty this week, happened on, you know, happens on every ER all the time, happens on all these shows. I hope somebody queer and somebody who is on a set, on a television set in L.A. will make this remedy for me, because I can't stand it any longer.
It's despicable.
It's not that you have to be method, but people don't walk down the street and gesticulate with a hot coffee in your hand.
Ooh,
with the same hand.
You said gesticulate and Frankenhooker in one episode.
It's a really special episode, isn't it?
Holy criminy.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you what's going on in the theater world, because in the theater world, they get it right. You know, they like to have steaming hot things so you can see steam and
steam.
Oh, I don't know. All right. We'll tell you what's going on in the theater scene. We'll be back.
Jersey Boys, Chicago's smash hit, has put a whole new block of tickets on sale now and into the new year.
Shady, baby.
So book your seats today, either for yourself or as a great holiday gift. Because there's no better way to say 'tis the season than with the seasons.
Oh, what a night.
Jersey Boys, now on sale through January 11th. Visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of October 20th, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Don't miss the Gift Theater's production of David Rabe's Streamers. It's 1965. Boot camp is over. Four young men wait for deployment to Vietnam. As anticipation, race, and sexuality climax at dizzying heights, a free fall begins that perhaps no man can survive. Visit thegifttheater.org.
Writers Theater presents Picnic by William Inge, directed by David Cromer. The Chicago Tribune calls it an intensely emotional revival, and the Chicago Sun-Times claims every performance is exquisitely shaped. For more information about Picnic at Writers Theater, log on to writerstheater.org.
Weird and wonderful, devastatingly lovely, exclaimed the New York Times when Sarah Ruhl's Eurydice premiered. Now Victory Gardens presents Eurydice, a bold, beautiful take on the classic Orpheus myth told from a modern-day heroine's point of view. Don't miss this remarkable production playing now at Victory Gardens Biograph. For tickets, visit victorygardens.org.
Remy Bumbo Theater presents The Voisey Inheritance by Harley Granville Barker, adapted by David Mamet. When do-gooder Edward Voisey learns of shady dealings within the family business, he is determined to set things right. But the rest of the family has other plans. The Voisey Inheritance plays through November 2nd at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater. Visit remybumbo.org.
Beautiful circus ring mistress Miranda Towers had it all until her world came tumbling down and things went haywire. Don't miss Haywire, presented by Helena Handbag, for murder, melodrama, and an axe-wielding Joan Crawford under the big top at the Bailiwick, 1229 West Belmont. For tickets, go to handbagproductions.org and mention the code WCT to get $5 off each ticket.
Don't miss Turn of the Century, this season's star-studded musical by the writers of Jersey Boys and directed by Tommy Toon at Goodman Theater. Jeff Daniels and Rachel York star in this romantic romp through time and the American Songbook. Playing now at Goodman Theater. Visit goodmantheater.org. For more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi, this is Candace Kane, and I'd like to say gorgeous, and thanks a lot for listening to Windy City Queercast.
I drink champagne in the morning. I drink champagne in the afternoon. I drink champagne in the bubble bath. I drink champagne in my dressing room. I drink champagne in the morning. I drink champagne in the afternoon. I drink champagne in the bubble bath. Champagne like Marilyn and use it to wash down my Vicodin. My head starts to spin, so I drink some more. My glass in the air when you start to pour. I'm a champagne whore, I love the bubble. Bigger champagne glasses, so make it a double. I stumble out the club at 4 a.m. Wake up and do it again.
All right, Alex, I'm off my soapbox.
That was good. Anyone who can use the word gesticulate in a sentence, I'm for your cause.
Yeah.
It's maybe, great. You've been reading your dictionary.
Maybe I should run like a full-page ad in the LA Times or something.
No, it's very good. It's
I
very,
can get
it's,
somebody it's, for my cause on
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I'm behind you.
That should be a proposition amendment.
I'm behind you gesticulating.
Yeah. Hey, watch it. A little to the right. A little to the left.
Over there. No, there. Oh, for God's sake, there.
Oh, for God's sakes. What is going to happen to her when she loses?
Huh?
What's going to happen to her when they lose?
She's going to kill somebody with her gun. That's what's going to happen.
No, seriously. I mean, do you think she's going to get like a reality
show? I'm serious. She's going to shoot somebody.
She's
going to go postal.
Shoot somebody. I think she's going to have a big, fat career. You just don't... I mean, what... presidential or vice presidential person who had this much resonance and this much parity and then lost. And there isn't anybody. There's nobody comparable.
Geraldine Ferraro.
Yeah, but people weren't that enamored of her. Like, I mean, I think,
what? That's not true. That's
well,
not true at all.
That people weren't enamored of her. I just mean it's a different. We're in a different time now. So, I think obviously women were behind her. That was a huge thing. It was a powerful moment, and I love Geraldine Ferraro. Believe you me, I was in elementary school doing a whole thing about Mondale and Ferraro. So I have the original bumper sticker. But I just think we're in a different time. We're in such a reality show world, and people are so interested in the fullness of her life. Like, I didn't know a lot about Geraldine Ferraro except her political career. You know,
yeah,
what I mean,
true.
she was kind of living on the merits of her career. And why I'm saying I think something will happen with Sarah Palin, and there's never been a Sarah Palin before or a male person that we've had this much interest in kind of their family, their hobbies, you know, their children.
Well, also remember that one of the reasons that she's so famous is because she's a nut.
And people, she's a knockout. She's hot and she's a crazy. I mean, this is Britney Spears, but just 20 years later and with a political career.
Well, no, it's Britney Spears when she lost her cookies. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. People are fascinated with the crazy. We love human behavior, and so we love to see people crack up. And I think, and I don't think Sarah Palin's cracking up. I just think she's a kook. And so, and she's
but
sort
won't
of, you
that
know,
be fun
extreme...
to watch? I mean, we watch Ozzy Osbourne. He's a kook, right? I mean,
no, absolutely. Listen, what she needs is a reality show. I'd watch that.
This is what I'm saying.
I'm saying,
what's going to happen to her after this election? Like, I think she's going to have a big, fat career. It's not going to last long, but she's not going to lose either way.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with you. But I really think she's going to go cuckoo. I think something I'm not saying something horrible is going to happen to her, but I think she's going to lose her mind. I really believe that. I think she's going to spiral down into some kind of weird sort of thing. I think she's going to go loony because she's right on the edge now.
Yeah.
She's literally on the edge, Amy. I mean, she's right on the edge of like.
Yeah.
That was my cuckoo sound. Did you like it?
But she had a cute little hip hop and a chair dance on Saturday Night Live.
Can you hear my cuckoo sound?
Cuckoo. Cuckoo. And then we sing a little Sound of Music song. Cuckoo.
All the tourists and the birdies and cuckoo. The poo and the pee cuckoo. And the church and the pink poo.
There you go.
I don't know any of the words to that song. As
no, I think church and the ping and the poo were all in there.
Ping and the poo. Those were the original lyrics, actually. But they had to
change.
Because Julie Andrews was pissed about it. I'm not going to sing those words, pee and poo. I don't sing pee and poo, ever.
Yeah.
I sing supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, but I don't sing pee and poo.
Pee and poo. Hey, speaking of
pee and
singing.
Poo?
No, not really pee and poo.
No.
But in terms of singing, you and I have not discussed that Miss Barbara Streisand will be honored at the Kennedy Center this year. Have we discussed that? So who do you think's going to sing for Barbara Streisand, for God's sakes?
Well, I think if they're really smart, that what they'll do is they'll get Linda freaking Etter. And, you know, the great
they
singers.
They won't get Linda freaking Etter. I love
know,
Linda freaking Etter. But
you
they
asked
won't.
My opinion, Matheny. Don't
okay.
jump down my throat. I think that they need to get, like... And I really think they ought to get, I'm sure they'll get Celine. They have to.
Yes.
They'll get her. But they also should get like Patti LaBelle and Gladys Knight. And, you know, they should get some soul singers to do some of her stuff. So like to give it like a little twisty poo.
Yeah. They'll, of course, have Robert Redford, you think?
Oh, would that be nice? Isn't he like 152 now?
I think he's have him on, though.
An old person.
I'm just curious. I'm very excited. Although
yeah,
it feels
good.
Very strange to have her getting one of those. I always feel like when Dolly Parton just got hers and now Barbara, it's like, wow, are they to that point? Paul Newman's passing. You know, it's just.
I know. We're getting old. It's
we
sad.
We are getting old. We are getting old. And you know what? We know we're getting old and that hell is freezing over and that Sarah Palin's going to go cuckoo when the Chicago Tribune, a very Republican-leaning paper that has not endorsed a Democratic presidential candidate in over 150 years, endorsed Barack Obama on Sunday. So
I've said this since the beginning, the Republican Party is falling apart and they have no chance. They don't, if it's going to be a very close race, but they don't
It's not going to be a close race.
It is. Yes, it is, my friend. Make no mistake. It's going to be a close race. But they haven't a chance in hell. And their clincher was Palin. Once they got Palin, I was a little iffy until Palin came aboard. And I went, okay, well, there's no way in hell those people are going to win. There's no way.
Yeah.
So I'm sleeping through the returns. I have no doubt that I'm going to wake up to Obama being president. I have no doubt in my mind.
Well, hopefully we will be chatting with you the day after Election Day and putting out a really quick podcast. We're hoping if all goes well. And so we will talk to you again on the day after, and we'll see what is the forecast for the next 4 years for our great country.
And the day after that.
And the day after that. Alex, when are you going to the courthouse this week?
I'm going to do what? With who?
You're going to the courthouse so you can start getting your marriage residuals this week.
Yes. We're going to do it and we're going to vlog about it. And Heather Hopkins is going to edit it because she's a genius and everything's going to be great.
Great. Well, we will have Alex's vlog linked on our show notes. Alex, stay away from the fires. Put some hot stuff in a coffee cup if you happen to get cast and you're holding something. You know, the change starts with you. That's
over the air. And by the way, I'm filming an episode of Eli Stone, so that's going to come out sometime in the next month or so.
Very fun. Well, we'll definitely have to talk before that. I got to get caught up on that show.
For God's sake.
He's very cute. I love that show.
Yes.
All right, Alex. Everybody have a great day. Don't forget to vote. You know, most states, you are already being able to start early voting. So get on out there and vote. Get your friends to vote. And in California, don't forget to go to the end of the ballot and vote.
Do it.
Vote, you know, vote and make sure this Proposition 8 does not become an amendment to your Constitution. All right,
That's
folks.
Right.
Have a great one.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, Amy Wooten, news editor, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.